been 2 years since Michael Nutter left City Hall after serving 8 years as Philadelphia's mayor. Nutter has written a book about his life and political career. It's called Mayor, the Best Job in Politics. He sat down this afternoon with WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies.
Well, Mayor Nutter, welcome back to Newsworks tonight. You know, in this book, you talk about getting into politics at a young age, running as you worked for Councilman John Anderson, you ran for committeeman, you ran eventually for city council, and you got into a world where politics are transactional. You got ward leaders. It's a system of grudges and favors and, you know, maybe looking for money for this and that. Was there a point at which you faced a choice? I'm either going to play the game or play it straight.
Well, that's a great place to start. You know, coming under the tutelage of Councilman Anderson, you know, I learned a lot of things pretty quickly. And the fact is, as much of an impact that he had on my life, I actually didn't know him that long.
He died, unfortunately, in office.
In October of 83. But his style and way. I mean, you know, John could play hardball, I think, as much as the next person, but there was an authenticity and a credibility about him and certain things that he just would not do. And I learned a lot of that from him. I learned about independence, and I got a lot of that from my parents. I grew up in a very independent political camp, and that was the key to what we were going to be about. So, you know, you asked me, did I have to make a decision? Yeah, but I decided that I was going to play it straight down the line.
And you managed to beat an incumbent councilwoman and keep your nose clean?
Yeah. And that was both of those races. You know, as you know, Dave, you know the history. You know, the first race was particularly nasty, very personal, some personal attacks against me. The second race, pretty much the same. And, you know, we just didn't go down that path. I mean, in my first race, I knocked on 10,000 doors. Second race, we knocked on 20,000 doors, raised more money. All of that became ward leader. And so, you know, I'm certainly no saint or an angel, but, you know, we tried to play it straight in the political realm, and that is just not easy, at least in Philadelphia.
Throughout your career, you put a lot of effort into ethics and accountability. You sponsored one of the toughest pay-to-play laws in the nation, which became law. You were a big backer of the ethics board, and you can make a strong argument. Things have changed in this city, and yet we have a Congressman Fattah in jail. Yeah. We have the district attorney in jail. Another Congressman Brady, in the middle of an investigation, and two of his aides have been charged. Where are we on ethics and accountability in this city?
Well, I mean, I think that ultimately it really is about individuals. I mean, you can have all the laws that you want. It is still against the law to rob banks, but people do it. Most don't get away with it. You know, the things, the folks that you've mentioned, you know, as best I know, none of them really had anything to do with contracts with the city, campaign finance issues. For the most part, people are following the law. But, you know, I always said when I was in office, you know, ethics is not like filling a pothole. You know, the streets department comes, the men and women of the streets department, you put the stuff down, you fill the hole, you put the blacktop over it, you go away. And, you know, you probably don't have to see that for another 10 years. Ethics is every day because somebody's always doing something.
You spent 15 years on city council, did a lot of serious legislation, the ethics stuff, the smoking ban, police advisory commission. And then in 2006, you decide you're going to run for mayor in a field of heavyweights. Yeah. You quit your job. What made you think you could win?
Well, first and foremost, it's my family. Lisa had tremendous faith in me, Olivia as well. And you can't, I think, small, medium, or large city, especially for the executive position, but pretty much anything in politics, you really need your family behind you. You know, our daughter was, you know, 11 or so. I quit my job, taking away at least half of the income from our family. It's the first time I was unemployed since I was 13 years old. It's significant, right? It's why a lot of people don't do it. We had taken a poll, which, you know, I mentioned in the book. My own poll told me that I couldn't win. So, you know, but Fred Yang, our pollster, I said, Fred, well, you know, what do you think? And he said, well, difficult, but not impossible.
Right.
And that was it. I said, let's go.
This was a remarkable campaign. We can't tell the whole story here, but there were five people in it.
Yeah.
You know, well known.
Oh, this is a serious field.
A serious field. We have always had, well, for the previous 20 years, strong patterns of racial voting in this city. Mm-hmm. That changed in your election. We saw much stronger patterns of racial crossover voting. Do you think we've come a distance here as a city in that way?
I think we have. There was great concern in the 2007 race that with, you know, three African Americans and two whites in the race, that my predecessor was Mayor Street, and that the African American vote would get split up among the three African American candidates, and a white candidate could run up the middle and win. Obviously, that didn't happen. Voters again are smarter than we ever give them credit for, and people just figured it out. We saw in the 2015 race, there was some of that same concern, but, Mayor Kenney with a significant win. And, there were multiple African-American candidates in that race. And so, it's about the candidate. It's about the times. It's about, what do people want? Do they want change? Do they want, pretty much a continuity? It's who all's running. It's a sign of the times. It's where people are. I think there is slightly less racially oriented voting in Philadelphia and a number of other cities. I mean, we're seeing this phenomenon across the country. In addition to, lastly, more and more women gaining elective office. I mean, there's a significant turnover in mayor's offices across the country with female candidates being successful, just, Atlanta, for example, and, of course, here in Philadelphia with the city controller's race.
And maybe someday a woman mayor here.
Well, David, it is the last of the – pretty much of the last offices, and certainly the three big citywide offices. And, I just think that, sooner than later, there will be a woman who will become mayor of the city of Philadelphia. And that will be a very proud moment for us. Of the top five cities, only one has ever had a female mayor. It's Houston, Anise Parker. But that time is coming.
As mayor, you deal with a lot. Budget crises and hurricanes.
It's a slightly complicated job.
The terrible Amtrak crash. I mean, a lot of things happen. And one of them was in 2011, there was a rash of flash mobs, kids wreaking mayhem in Center City. Yeah. And there's a moment I'm going to play here when you went and spoke at Mount Carmel Baptist Church. The sound's a little fuzzy, but we'll get a sense of it.
Parents who neglect their children, who don't know where they are, don't know what they're doing, don't know who they're hanging out with, you're going to find yourself spending some quality time with your kids in jail together. Together.
It was a tough love speech. You said, boys are making babies and not taking care of them. This wasn't just a speech. You had some policy ideas you were presenting the next day, some truancy laws and some additional recreational programs.
Yeah, but carrot and stick.
Right. And what's interesting to me about it is the question, the extent to which the mayor can affect behavior by his own inspiration or example. You were telling people to change their behavior. Yeah. I wonder, were you impressed how effective you could be, or is it frustrating that people don't get it?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, you can never really, at least while you're in office, of course, you can never really take the mayor hat off. But that talk at my own church in a very friendly audience, I was really, quite honestly speaking, more as a parent. And as a kid who grew up in West Philly, and I was fortunate to have two parents and my grandmother and, of course, my sister. And I knew that talking with that audience, and certainly the word was going to get out further, but, that was an old school conversation. I talked about, I didn't need a watch. I didn't need a sundial. My mom said, when the street light comes on, have your butt on the steps.
You're not out in Center City at 9 o'clock.
Look up, and she said, all you got to do is look up. Right? You're not going to be – if I was in Center City at 9 o'clock at night, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. I mean, we would have never met. Right? So, I was trying to remind people of community and what that's about. And so, yes, I am the mayor, but I'm a parent and a father, been through some stuff. I was a kid. Not too far from that neighborhood. And so I was really trying to deliver not only a very tough message, but a heartfelt message. I can't even express how angry I was before I got to the church, when I heard about what happened and the people who were injured, and then it just all came back to me and while I was there speaking to the congregation. And I knew what we were going to say the next day, but I had to say those things in that place. And the fact of the matter is, for the rest of my tenure, we didn't have any more flash mobs.
So maybe it connected. Maybe
I think a little
you
bit.
Being
yeah.
the voice of the city, bringing that genuine emotion mattered.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, you got an African-American mayor. Many of the kids involved were African-American, wherever they were from, parents, et cetera. I mean, there are moments where, I mean, I have to, you know, you have to use whatever tools and resources you have at your disposal. But, I mean, I was here's a black man talking to basically black parents and kids about what's going on out here and that I was not going to tolerate it. And so here's some carrot. Here's more programs, more services, et cetera. But we're not messing around. You know this is wrong. And you need to change your behavior. So, I mean, I'm not trying to make a direct correlation between I made a speech and nothing else ever happened, but I think a combination of all of those things in that moment, I think the citizens of Philadelphia, black, white, Latino, Asian, all took it very seriously and said, you know, this is unacceptable.
We're speaking with former Mayor Michael Nutter. He has a new book called Mayor, The Best Job in Politics. The cover of this book has a yeah. wonderful photo of you yeah. leaning down and looking yeah. at a kid that's maybe, what, 6, 7 years old.
Yeah.
I know because I know people in your administration that you would regularly go to schools to talk to kids, to try and share with them the meaning that education had had in your life. Yeah. Your parents said, you're going to get an education, and it made all the difference for you.
It's been everything.
Do you feel like you connected with those kids? Do you think it mattered? You clearly put a lot of time into that.
I you know, again, I like to think it did. You know, as always, I one year I said to my staff that I wanted to visit every school in the school district somewhere in the course of the year. And, you know, it's kind of one of those moments for staff people that are like, oh, okay, Mayor, we'll come back to you. Yeah. So they tell me the story later that they talked amongst themselves and they looked, you know, we have like 200 plus schools, and they said, you could do it. You just wouldn't be able to ever go anywhere else. So, okay. Well, why don't we do as many as we can? Always well received at the different schools, district managed schools, charter schools, Catholic schools, private schools. Again, trying to convey a message that, you know, and kids would always ask me, you know, what did you study in school to become mayor? Or how did you become mayor? Well, you know, I mean, there's no one thing. It's a series of things. But part of it was I stayed in school. You know, I tried to get decent grades. Did my work. I stayed out of trouble. And again, I thought it important. Again, public school, Catholic school, charter, private, doesn't matter. I think when you're the mayor, when you're, you know, some high-profile person, kids especially, they need to see you. They need to hear from you. They need to hear your story. I tell adults all the time, you know, you're doing whatever job you're doing. You have a story. You need to go tell young people your story. Because what young people see in the movies, on TV, other places, they see all these wildly successful people. But that's when they see them. You know, they would know necessarily that I lost my first committeeman's race, or I lost my first city council race, or, you know, I barely had any money after the, you know, city council race, and I'm, you know, getting quarters out of a jug to, you know, get on SEPTA. They don't know that, right? So, or other challenges, hurdles, problems. They just see us as successful people, and I wanted them to know that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. If you're going to do it, there are going to be some struggles. You'll have some people who tell you you can't do stuff. I've certainly had that. Get away from them, negative folks. And you know, I mean, more kids graduated from high school, more went on to college. Hopefully, we inspired some of them.
High point. What are you most proud of?
There are two things, but they're the other side of a coin of things that I'm not excited about. 31% reduction in homicides during my tenure. I was fortunate to have the best police commissioner in the United States of America, and Police Commissioner Ramsey. There are young people alive today, I think, because of some of the things we did. Significant increase in high school graduation and college degree attainment. Helps the economy, really helps the human potential for those young people. The flip side of that is, you know, one homicide, one shooting is too many. you know, we had three straight years under 300, first time since the 60s. I think our low point was 300 murders in a year. I think our low point was like 247. That was a 1967 level, but still too much violence in Philadelphia. I wanted to get up at an 80% high school graduation rate. We got to like, I think, 67. Still too few young people graduated from high school. So I'm very proud of those achievements, but I wanted more. You know, but I mean, I know we tried to do the best we could with what we had, and the citizens did respond.
What do you tell young people today who want to make a difference, who want to get engaged? You're a relatively young man, for having served 2 years in Maryland. What do you want to do with the rest of your career?
Well, I have what I refer to now as a portfolio of activities, whether it's teaching at Columbia, so that Columbia University in New York, graduate level, that keeps me engaged with young people in a certain way. I'm still focused on anti-violence activities with an organization called Cities United. I get an opportunity from time to time to contribute at CNN, and I do some writing. I mean, beyond the book is the book, but I do some other writing from time to time. But I think for me, the rest of my work career, the main focus will be around issues of poverty.
Could you run for office again?
I have no plans to run for office again. It's part of the reason, part of the fundamentals of the book. I mean, I think I've had the best job. And none of the other political positions are of any interest to me. So, and I appreciate the compliment that at 60 I'm still a young man. But you know, but I've been in this for 30 plus years, and I think it's time for a new generation, and I want to be a part of that and help new candidates, young people in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, step up and take the reins. You know, we're not really supposed to die in these jobs. And, you know, there comes a point, whether in politics or sports or whatever, like, move off the stage, get out of the way, let somebody else, you know, step up and do the work. So I'm going to be active. I'll be engaged. I'll be involved. I'll help other candidates get elected, local, state, and federal level. But my main work area is going to be in public policy and focusing on reducing the poverty level, not only here in Philadelphia, which unfortunately still remains the highest of the 10 largest cities in the country, but also across the country.
The name of the book is Mayor, The Best Job in Politics. Michael Nutter, thanks so much for coming again on Newsworks Tonight.
Dave, thank you a lot.